San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, October 5, 2025. Today's lesson is Finding Your Balance with Dr. Constance Cook Kaur. Good morning. Welcome home to the San Diego Center for Spiritual Living. Let's anchor ourselves in as we do every Sunday. There is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation. And I call this God, the living spirit almighty, one indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And so it is. Oh. So here we are in 2025. Simple Abundance is our annual theme. And for October, three quarters of the way through this year, for October, we have our theme of balance. And today's lesson is finding your balance. And as I was putting this together, I was thinking, shouldn't we have already found it in the last 9 months? But maybe not. Maybe all of our previous themes were getting us to the point where now we can look at things and find our balance and be balanced and understand that as above, so below is reality and that life is a balancing act. Did you catch what I did there? I just kind of previewed the talk titles for this month. So when we think about balance, what comes to mind? What vision do you have? What would your life be like to live in balance? What would your life feel like if you actually lived your life in accordance with your spiritual values and your beliefs? Just to let you know, it's personal for each of us and for all of us. So whatever your answers are, may or may not be similar to the answers that other people have. Odds are, they're very different because each of us is so unique. So let's define balance. It is a state of equilibrium and stability. Stability like you're on a tightrope and you've got a pole to help you balance. Or that guy was back in the 60s on the Ed Sullivan Show. He used to have that guy come in all the time that would balance plates. And I remember watching that and being amazed. And I remember also seeing it later on the Johnny Carson Show, the Tonight Show. But he had all these sticks, like, I don't know, a dozen sticks, tall sticks. What were they? 4 or 5 feet in the air. And he would start, he'd put a plate on and start spinning, and that plate would spin and it would stay balanced. And he would get all of these sticks to have a spinning plate on the top. But whenever it started to wobble, the plate started to wobble, he would run down to where it was and he would spin it again. He was multitasking and the plates were all balanced. Sometimes it feels like that's what our life is. We're running up and down the line, making sure that the wobbling plate doesn't fall down. Well, balance is also the pleasing harmony of various elements. Glasses of water, crystal glasses of water with different levels in, you can hit them and get different musical notes depending on how high or low the water is. Balance is making things proportionate in a selected group or assembly. In other words, balance is the comparative relationship between two or more things in which different aspects or features are treated equally or exist in an agreed relationship to each other. Balance and stability play an important role in your spiritual life. When we balance our work and our play, we need to have that be as a balance. To do that, it's more helpful if we find work that we love, because we're going to spend a lot of time at that work and probably less time at our playtime. So if we can, well, there's this talk that says, do what you love and the money will follow. That is not completely true. Find things that are profitable, that are income-based, that you love to do, and then do it. But don't just sit there and think, I like taking a nap, so I'm going to take a nap and somebody's going to pay me to take a nap. Well, I haven't heard of that job. I'm sure somebody has it, but I haven't heard of it. Maybe sleep studies. We also want to balance our time with our family and our friends. We don't want to ignore one or the other because it throws us into a sense of imbalance. Our family are the people that we are born into, that we have blood relationships with, and it goes through our rearing, our being raised, and the things that we learn from our family. But we also have friends. It would be nice if all of our family and friends balanced each other and blended together. I don't know anybody who has all of that. But you can see your friends at work, at some kind of a club, like a tennis club. You can see that your friends in spiritual community. So you can also play tennis with your family members. And that is something that you love. In the area of healing, we need a balance between alkaline, which is a healthy state of the body, or acidity, which is a vulnerable state of the body. We want that neutral pH balance in our body to give it the optimum environment to be healthy. So that brings in the physical for seeking a balance. I'm going to tell you a story. This is by Dan John, and it's called The New Compass for a Balanced Life. Achieving clarity in the role of health and fitness was the single biggest hurdle in my coaching career. But I think my first glimpse into the art of lifelong fitness actually happened in second grade. The fact that I can remember a talk from the early 1960s, literally decades and miles ago, is enough to thank the memory of Sister Maria Assumpta and her few minutes at the chalkboard. Sister walked up to the chalkboard and put up a basic compass shape. Rather than north, south, east, and west, she replaced them with work, rest, play, and pray. Very simply, she told us, your lives should always live in a balance with these four things. If you work too much, you'll ignore important things and burn out. If you rest too much, you'll become slothful and ignore real living. If you play too much, you'll be like the grasshopper from Aesop's tale, who played all summer instead of storing food and starved to death in the winter as a result. Curiously, Sister never went into praying too much. I guess she figured that was a given. But I've often pointed out that pray could just as easily be alone time for some. Pray could also be just taking an appreciation of goodness or beauty. And we talked about beauty last month. There's something restful about watching a waterfall or witnessing a plane land at night. Breathe in, breathe out, and enjoy it. So he learned the basics back in second grade. The things that we absorb as children show up in our lives. So he was given this early introduction to balancing the different aspects of our lives. I wasn't. I don't think many people were, except all those kids who had Sister Maria Assumpta. Emmett Fox, in the Sermon on the Mount, wrote, "God is love, but God is also infinite intelligence. And unless these two qualities are balanced in our lives, we do not get the wisdom. For wisdom is the perfect blending of intelligence and law." We want to have a balance of spirituality and reality. We want to remember that we are in this world, but not of this world. We want to be informed of the current events and observe what's happening all around us, while we keep in mind that everything is in divine order. No matter what it looks like, there is divine order underlying everything. So I would caution all of us not to be attached to the drama. There's a lot of drama out there right now. Allow it to be what it is, and remember that you are a spiritual, immortal being having a human experience. You are not a human trying to find something good in it. No, just step back and say, I know there is good in it because God is in it. My God is my good. My good is my God, as Emma Curtis Hopkins admonished us many a time and time again as we reread her book. Don't be attached to the drama. There were some people who could not avoid the drama, but they didn't have to be attached. I watched on C-SPAN, there was part of the Religious Liberty Commission that is being touted and put forth, and I don't know all of the background to it. I just happened to see it there, and I thought, well, I'm going to stop and I'm going to look at what this is. Because they were talking about the balance of faith and reason. Some of the people who were speaking were the coach, Joe Kennedy was his name, who would pray on the 50-yard line after a game. And what doing that and the school and school board's reaction to that, how that affected his life. And yet he said, I still have good relationships with some of those people who were my friends, but who were forced to lay me off, were forced to enforce these things that they were being told by the school legal counsel. By the way, he sued and won. There was another woman, a teacher, and in her classroom, the way it was all set up is they had the seats for the students, the seat for the teacher's desk, and then they had this one little area where teachers could put up personal stuff. Just their personal stuff. And so she had a Yankees banner. She was in New York. And a couple of other things. And her crucifix. And the school board, they got some new school board members and a new principal. And they came down to her class. Or actually, they called her to the office and said, you have to take the crucifix down. And so there was another area where she could not avoid the drama. And she talked about what she went through and what impact her faith had in her decision to not remove her crucifix and how that impacted her career. She was kicked out of the classroom, but they couldn't fire her because there was a lawsuit going on, blah, 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 blah. She won the lawsuit. But what this commission was doing, there was another guy who was speaking. His name was Larry Arn, A-A-R-N, and I don't know where he's from, but he was speaking when I first turned it on. He said, going back to Aristotle, Aristotle told us that everything we do is for the good. Everything we do is for the good and for our faith. That things don't just happen for no reason. If there is a glass, just a drinking glass, that glass called its own self into being through somebody's idea. And when he said the glass called the making of itself into being, that's when I thought, oh gosh, what's he saying? Because this sounds like science of mind. Aristotle described God as intellect, eternal, and the unmoved mover. And he called reason God, who knows only about itself. We feel a need to sacrifice for the good as human beings because we are called to think about things, to have these ideas, the glass calling itself into creation. Biblical, in the biblical sense, we remember Abraham. And Mr. Arn reminded us that when God spoke to Abraham, that was when religion was tribal. Your tribe had one, another tribe had a different one. There was no one God. There was no one presence. There was a whole bunch of different things that people in the different tribes were believing. God told Abraham, I will be your God. You will be my people. This will be a blessing to all the people on earth. And that is the promise that Abraham started living by and sharing. When we think about that biblical verse, I will be your God, you will be my people. That's a covenant. That's a covenant. Now, today, we can believe it or not believe it. It's our choice. But it's a balance. He's saying, okay, I'm going to be your God and you're going to be my people. Therefore, I'm going to do for you and you're going to acknowledge me. Religious liberty in our United States calls us to look beyond our differences, calls us to find a way to stand in our truth and be true to our beliefs, and to understand that everybody has their own version of truth. If you polled 1,000 Baptists, they're all going to tell you 1,000 different things, but it's all going to be sort of kind of alike because that's what they teach the Baptists and the Methodists. You call forth the Methodists, ask 1,000 of them, what do you believe? And it's all going to come in within a common area. We want to find a balance that works for all of us, without having to compromise our values and beliefs to please others. Dr. Phil McGraw, he was on the panel, and he said two things that I thought, well, they are totally appropriate to this panel, but they are also totally appropriate to all of life. He said, the most common way to lose power is to believe you don't have any. And passion is not anger. So people who are passionate about things may be raising their voice and having a huge arm gestures, maybe jumping, maybe doing all the things. That's not necessarily anger. That could be rooting for your home team at the ball game. But the most common way to lose power is to believe you don't have any. And all of these people who were giving their stories in front of this panel, each one of them had thought that the people who held all the power were the ones who were telling them what they could no longer do. And so there has to come a mental adjustment when we say, just because somebody else said so, doesn't make it so. Now, if it's a written law, okay, I'll read the law. And if I need to, I'll go to an attorney and say, okay, what I'm thinking and what this is saying are not in balance. How can you help me understand? And oftentimes, that is what happened to all these people who were being told there's an absolute divide in church and state, which is a whole other talk. But because there's this divide in church and state, you have to give up your beliefs. You are no longer allowed to act in accordance with your beliefs. So we want to find that balance where we aren't compromising our values and beliefs to please others, but we are doing things in accordance with the law. Just makes sense. It just makes sense. So we want to find a balance that works for us without any compromises. And everyone has their own preferences and comfort levels. Say a comfortable room temperature means a proportionate balance of heat and cold. But even though that ratio may be different for each person in the room, it then becomes a compromise of personal likes and dislikes. We used to have the thermostat wars when I was at work, and there was my office and there was the woman who was next to me. And I don't like heat at all. I need air, I need cool. She needed heat. She was from Hawaii, so being here in California, our temperatures are not that hot. She was cold. So when the thermostat was on and it was blowing, the cooler was on, it was blowing in my office, I was fine. Phyllis kept saying, I'm so cold, can you turn the heat up? And so we did several different things, and it was put cardboard over the vent in her room to redirect the air away from being on top of her, and several different things. And what we finally wound up doing was moving her office, because the work that I did and the work that she did were different, and I needed to be in that module of 10 offices, and she didn't. She could be in the other module. So the compromise was, when we moved her to the other module, we gave her a window in her office that we didn't have before. So yeah, it is compromise without giving up the things that we need. It's up to each of us to find balance in our lives through nature and people and events. And I'm going to share with you three practical ways to find balance by observing nature, appreciating people, and witnessing events without being attached to the outcome. But first, I'm going to share one of my preferences with you. One of my favorite groups of all time is the Moody Blues. I have always appreciated the lush harmonies, the symphonic arrangements, the cosmic consciousness of their lyrics that were all over their albums. And those lyrics are still relevant today. And to me, that is an example of speaking the truth. speaking the truth. The fifth album that they had was A Question of Balance. It was released in 1970, and one of the questions they asked themselves was whether they would cut the studio overdubs and effects and keep it simple to save money. Also, there's a difference between an overly elaborate presentation and simplicity. Think about the song Layla. When it's done in all its magnificence, or when Eric Clapton played it on his acoustic guitar. Same song, very different. Now, when I read here, when I read the lyrics to you, I actually hear the music playing in my head. And I hear it being sung. And that in itself tells me it is a powerful song to me. I like it. I hope you do. But The Answer was the first song on the album, and it was recorded in one take with no special effects. That's huge. That's huge. Some of the lyrics are, it was titled Question. Here are some of the lyrics. Why do we never get an answer when we're knocking on the door? With 1,000,000,000 questions about hate and death and war. And when you stop and think about it, you won't believe it's true that all the love you've been giving has all been meant for you. Between the silence of the mountains and the crashing of the sea, there lies a land I once lived in, and she's waiting there for me. That last line, there lies a land that I once lived in, and she's waiting there for me, reveals the quest for peace of mind and balance in our lives. So many times we find ourselves caught between the silence of the mountains and the crashing of the sea. And we long for the balance and the love that awaits our recognition. It seems that many of us are longing for balance between where we are and where we long to be. Ernest Holmes is the founder of the Religious Science and Science of Mind movement, and the author of the Science of Mind textbook. And he has this to say about separation, unity, and perfect balance. It's on page 321. A sense of separation from good causes us to feel restricted, while a sense of our unity with good changes the currents of causation and brings a happier condition into experience. Everything in the physical universe is an effect and exists only by virtue of some invisible cause. Man's individuality enables him to make such use of the law as he desires. So we're going to wrap this up, today's lesson of finding your balance, with three ways to perfectly balance the objective and subjective world, and to reveal the balance within the two sides of cause and effect. First, turn to nature and observe just how balanced she really is. That vase over there has lilies from my front yard in it. Last week, it had a whole bunch of them. But as I was talking about and telling you how beauty is not symmetry, the stem is curved and there were different numbers of blossoms on, some that I had already taken off, some that were not so fresh. And so today, I thought, how awesome. There are exactly two blossoms left on that lily stalk, one on either side. They're kind of balanced, but not perfectly. In nature, the sky, the clouds, the perfect balance of oxygen and carbon dioxide in relationship to the plants and the animals. Notice the colors and the textures of the trees and the plants. Texture is really big for me. I'm a tactile person, so I like to touch the trees. And I'm careful of touching the plants because I know our hands have oil on them. You don't want to rub the leaves because then the leaves go, oh no, I'm being assaulted. But notice the ocean, the waves, the mist, and the constant ebb and flow of the tide, which is like a lullaby for me. The tide is in alignment with the receptive cosmic moon and the assertive radiant sun. It's in balance. Secondly, we have a fresh perspective about people, which is a good thing. Notice that when you're looking at balance, you no longer see tall and short, dark and light, male and female, young and old, beautiful and less than attractive. Notice that cultural and religious differences melt away into one human family, and that everyone is playing their parts perfectly, regardless of the situation or the circumstance. And that ties into be in this world but not of it. Don't become attached to the things that are on the news. Remember that there is divine order and balance and harmony in everything. When you come across someone who's not looking at you, or who does not look like you, when you come across someone who does not look like you, say, we don't. Nobody else has the hair like mine today. But smile at them and say namaste. And what that is the light within me salutes and honors the light that shines within you. So that's why we like to greet each other with prayerful hands, a slight bow, and a namaste, because we are recognizing and honoring the God within. But who is doing that? The God within us is recognizing and honoring the God within others. When we align ourselves with the perfect synchronicity of life, remember that everything happens for a reason. There are no coincidences in life. Everything and everyone is connected energetically, and there are no mistakes, only opportunities to learn more about yourself and your place in this thing called life. Witness the miracles and the mystery of life itself in each and every moment, this moment. There are miracles right here in this moment. In closing, I'm going to quote the Greek dramatist Euripides from the year 406 BC, before Christ. He said, "The best and safest thing is to keep balance in your life by acknowledging the great powers around you and within you. If you can do that and live that way, you are really a wise one." So I thank you for your time and your attention. Namaste.